Transmission commence in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Level 7.
RandomChatter.com presents
the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
Do you copy?
Perimeter breach.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case files.
Authorizing.
Just call us S.H.I.E.L.D.
Access granted.
Coulson, get back to base.
Welcome back, agents. I trust you've all been suitably briefed on the most recent encounter. We'll be your hosts on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. I'm Director Shepard.
And I'm Director Stolte.
And you've been authorized to undergo debriefing on the most recent mission from Agent Coulson and his operatives presented to the public as a dramatic hour-long television series known as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Fortunately, you are all cleared to know the truth. Well, welcome to the season finale, everybody. I didn't know that we'd make it this far, but we did. We also have a very special guest this week, this finale, Special Agent Tim. Tim is a member of Damage Control, helping us out here, you know, addressing potential issues and helping manage cleanup when, you know, I don't know, an alien race invades New York or an LMD goes berserk and destroys an office complex, things like that. So, Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. It's been busy cleaning up S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters.
Yeah. Yep. You can set your push broom aside for just a little bit so we can we can discuss this mess.
Absolutely.
I picture him like the little guy that sweeps up after, what is it, the Pink Panther or Dudley Do-Right with a little push can.
Pink Panther.
Yeah. Is it Pink Panther? Yeah. So, for me personally, a fabulous end to a fabulous season. And we have some good news that we found out this week just before the finale, so it made it even sweeter. But before we get into all that, Josh, I'm going to let you do your little thing here, your little tirade, I guess, as we call it.
All right. My raid has been tied. I'm ready to share it with the world, but let's talk about what episode this is, which finale this is, so as yes. we binge listen to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. We can remember which season we're in. This was the season finale, episode 22, which aired May 16th, 2017, and appropriately titled World's End. It was written by Jeffrey Bell and directed by Billy Gearhart. The world, as we know it, of course, is coming to an end. See, well, the world that's the framework, of course, right? As Dr. Radcliffe's creation dissolves all around him, all he can do is watch. And, you know, maybe help a couple of his friends. He and Yo-Yo find Mac, but they just can't convince him to leave. And they're rapidly running out of time. Well, back in the real world, Ada's creation has the creation of her as a biological entity, right? It's created a tear between two worlds. So our old pal Ghost Rider comes back from the dark place to stop the vengeful mistress and get the Darkhold. She's got a plan to get her revenge on Fitz for totally friend-zoning her. She's going to turn this world upside down and destroy S.H.I.E.L.D. in the process. Now, with all the LMDs she's got access to, she may actually be able to do it. General Talbot's Meeting of the Minds discusses the repercussions of all of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s recent actions, and two of Ada's LMDs are right there in the meeting, turning everyone against the Inhumans. Now, of course, with an LMD Daisy showing up with guns a-blazing, it's not that hard to convince them. Well, Coulson decides, it's right there. Our eyes cannot deceive us.
When you collaborate with the Russians, that's the problem you get into.
It does seem to be a problem, you know? I mean, there's always issues, but... Coulson decides to just take the fight straight to Ada by returning to base and, you know, baiting her. Now, when you got our friends at S.H.I.E.L.D. teaming up with Ghost Rider, Ada's days are numbered. In an epic showdown, it's hard to tell who's who, which side is winning, and how they're going to get out of this predicament. So, let's get started talking about it before the whole world just
Josh, hello. You cut out there for a second. Are you still there?
No, I'm still here. Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
I was just in the middle of a sentence.
Some things are disappearing around me. So.
Well, hold on to your coffee cup.
Did you drop? Yeah, I was just going to say, did you drop your drink?
I thought I did. It's just gone. I don't know. So things are gone. It's either the framework is disappearing or these guys from the bank that just keep taking stuff out of my room. I don't know. I might have missed a payment on something.
Ghost Rider repossessions. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
There you go. It's a panel truck with flaming wheels.
Yeah. All right. Well, a couple pieces of news this week. First, a sad piece of news that we found out earlier in the week, and they were actually able to put a title card at the end of the episode. Powers Booth passed away, and you may remember him as Gideon Malik. That was Hive's benefactor and S.H.I.E.L.D. thorn in the side from last season. Also ex-member of the World Council from Avengers and I think Captain America, the Winter Soldier. He was relatively young, all things considered. And
yeah, 68.
Yeah. So, but he's had a long and storied career. And I know that the people on the show are really going to miss him. And this is the second actor they've lost this season, which is – that's just too many. But
– yeah.
So, anyway, our best wishes to his family and friends. All right. In other news, found out that there's a new Fox TV show. We normally don't talk about stuff like that. It's specifically a Star Trek spoof called The Orville, which I don't know. Have you guys seen the trailer for this or the teaser for this?
I have. I thought it would look pretty funny.
I actually have not.
Spoof of Star Trek. I think it makes no bones about that. And the captain of the ship and the producer of the show is the guy from The Family Guy. I'm completely forgetting his name now.
Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah.
So his first officer, I assume it's his first officer, is played by Adrian Palicki.
Oh, yes. So, actually, first officer and ex-wife.
That's outstanding.
So if you guys want to see why Mockingbird is not on S.H.I.E.L.D., you can go check out The Orville next season on Fox. But maybe there's room for a crossover with S.H.I.E.L.D. in space. I don't know. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But the best news of all, and I cannot tell you guys how much anxiety not having this kind of information as we're going into the season finale was causing me, but we didn't know if S.H.I.E.L.D. was renewed or not.
True.
It seemed like it was a pretty good deal for it, but you know, they're always kind of on the bubble. You never know about ratings and stuff. Well, S.H.I.E.L.D. did get renewed, and we found out that it was renewed and it will be running for 22 episodes. But it's not on the fall lineup. Inhumans, Marvel's Inhumans, actually is on the fall lineup on Fridays at 9. And the IGN and TV Guide and all these sites are saying that S.H.I.E.L.D. will take over in that time slot as soon as Inhumans wraps its eight-episode run, which is either going to be 7 or 8 weeks. I think the first week might be a two-parter. We don't know for certain yet. So November 10th is probably about the earliest that the show will start, but Friday at 9, that's going to be the new slot. So we're moving from Tuesdays to Fridays.
Wow. Well, first of all, congratulations on everybody on the team there that they're coming back. That's excellent news. Nothing like waiting until last minute to let us know, but hey, that's okay.
Yeah.
So Fridays, how are you feeling about Fridays? Do you feel like they can be successful then?
You know, that's the question I've been hearing a lot from people, that isn't Friday a bad time because don't people go out and all this kind of stuff? Well, I mean, how many people watch stuff live anymore? Ratings take into account the, I guess, what they call the +3 and the +7 numbers. They look at people who watch it live, but also DVR it and watch it in the next 3 days. And then also who watch it over the next 7 days. And S.H.I.E.L.D.'s been doing well in the +7 numbers, but the +3 is like another level to enter. And having a Friday show, that means people are more likely to have time and to watch it over the weekend. So that means their plus three numbers are actually probably going to go up, which is probably even a better thing for them. Also, the fact that this could be good or bad, but ABC is trying to make a sci-fi Friday. So they're putting Once Upon a Time on at 8 in its seventh season, and then S.H.I.E.L.D., well, Inhumans, and then S.H.I.E.L.D. following it at 9. The only problem is, from what I understand from people who watch it, Once Upon a Time kind of is wrapping up stuff, and then they're going to kind of change their format because I think two or three of the actors are leaving and won't be back next season. So we'll see if that actually brings the lead in that that the show's expecting. But it is kind of cool. You know, I mean, X-Files did great on Friday for a long time.
Yeah, I think that Friday Dead Zone is kind of a thing of the past. Yeah. And has been for quite a while, so I'm not too worried about it being on Friday. I hope that they can, I don't know what you'd call it, you know, transfer the audience from Tuesday to Friday. And but this season has generated so much positive buzz and gotten so much good feedback from people that do that. I think they can do it. I think it's going to be okay. And the other thing that I think will help it, well, I guess talk more about its starting date, right?
Oh, you mean that like November?
Yeah. So starting in November and having 22 episodes, I think they're going to avoid that big mid-season break that they had for the last few years.
They're using it at the beginning of the episode, or at the beginning of the season here with Inhumans.
I think that will help because just the momentum can continue building throughout the season and not kind of get sidetracked with that big long break that they've had. So
I agree.
So I think that might be okay.
Yeah. Well, and the biggest news that, and you know, is that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files will be back, of course, but we'll be switching our night too, or our day, or whatever you call it. Whenever you find us, it won't be on a Friday. Our new episodes won't be out on a Friday because there's no way we're going to know about what happens before the show airs. So look for us sometime over the weekend, potentially Monday. We'll let you know. Follow all of our feeds. And as long as you subscribe to us, you'll get the show as soon as we get it out. So
I'm just glad we got renewed. I was, you know, I'd had people talking to me about some other shows that they wanted me to be on. Seth MacFarlane did call me, actually, and I said I was just holding out. But
well, I mean, I think you've been doing a good job, but I mean, I was, you know, looking to see. I was thinking maybe Sarah Huckabee Sanders might, you know, be a better fit. So, but I think I'll keep you around.
Well, now that we're not, you know, Hydra anymore, I think I'll be okay.
Tend to be okay. All right. Well, hey, let's get right into the episode here. We've talked about news long enough. We've got a lot. I kept writing stuff, and I was like, I can't believe how many things happened. But, of course, you know, we're taking an entire season, and well, not even really a season, but we're taking this entire story arc you know, and kind of completing it. Tim, before I even actually get started with just the specific discussion about this particular episode, I assume you've been pretty much keeping up on a weekly basis with the show. You're not like someone who skips it for a while and then binges or anything, right?
Oh yeah, no, I've been glued to this, to both Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well as Case Files. Cause you guys give me my essential follow-up and analysis here. So I'm really honored and actually a bit intimidated to be joining you guys tonight. So,
oh, no, it's fine. Josh put on his pants for once for this recording.
I appreciate that. I appreciate you more than you know.
It's also why we don't do video. So what was your basic thoughts about this Agents of Hydra storyline? I know some of the other people on our random chatter Slack who watched the show were not as excited about it as like I was, and I know it's kind of gone both ways. So where do you come down on the fence as far as this story arc?
I really liked it. I thought the whole I mean, really taking into account the entire season. So both pods going from LMD and Ghost Rider and then into the Agents of Hydra thing. It was all – it got very surreal. It got very sci-fi. Sometimes I was wondering, hey, you know, what exactly is real here? It's almost like an Inception type of thing for me. It was really neat. I love the character arcs. I love where they were taking the characters. I love the struggle that so many of these characters were going through in terms of both the characters who were aware as well as the characters who were not aware. And it was, you know, certainly cringeworthy, especially characters like Fitz. It's like, wow, this is not the Fitz that we know. What in the world is going on?
Right.
And it was really interesting to see kind of the rise and fall of different characters, the redemption of certain characters like Radcliffe, who really like turned around and realized his faults of his own creation, actually his own creations, and really redeemed himself and you know, ultimately in the end helped save people.
So you didn't feel that the telling kind of an imaginary world story changed the appeal or the way that you cared for any of the characters or anything like that?
No, in fact, it made me care more for them because it made me see different perspectives of them. In some cases, you know, obviously perspectives that I didn't like, but I still liked the characters themselves. And so it was very compelling to me because I wanted to see those characters come back, to, you know, the ones that I, you know, that I really liked. And it was, there was certainly a more of a sci-fi element to it, than what we've seen in the past. But I liked it. It was an exciting ride for me, and I thought it was pretty compelling.
Cool. All right. Well, so, like I said, we have a number of characters that we had in various, predicaments here as we came into the season finale. So first one, you know, General Talbot is safe.
I guess.
I can only imagine because he's so thick-skulled, that's why the bullet didn't penetrate any further with him. But, Josh, what do you think's going to happen with our favorite general here?
Well, man, he got only General Talbot, right, could get shot right in the forehead and still be alive. I don't know. I mean, I think there's going to be – he's not a big enough character, I think, to really, you know, have him go through like a season-long struggle of recovering like Fitz did, right? So I don't – I mean, I like the guy. I like the character. I like having him on there. He's a lot of comic relief, plus he's a little oh, what would you call it?
Brusque,
like, kind of. Yeah. That's it. That's exactly right. Exactly. Yeah. So it kind of brings that fun element to it. You know, he's sometimes an issue, a problem for S.H.I.E.L.D., kind of like he was this week. It's nothing that they can't handle. You know, it's not like an alien threat or the big things they have to do. It's more like a hurdle that they have to get through in order to get to the final goal, right? So I think he'll end up being okay. I'm thinking they might change his general status, so he's no longer kind of that as much of an authority as he was. Still a recurring character, but maybe in a different capacity.
So you think maybe the next time we see him, he'll be fine, and you know he'll have a scar and just be pissed at everybody because
maybe that sounds
last
like
time
him
I saw
actually
you, I got shot. You know, so
well, you know, last time I got shot in the head, I was pretty upset for a while.
I can imagine. Really puts a
and the
on
you know they had to replace the plate with a plastic one because every time the microwave went on, never mind.
All right. Well, the other character that in actually all honesty that we were really concerned about from last week is obviously Agent McKenzie. Yo-Yo jumps into the framework to save him and. You know, there was no sense that we were going to be able to get him out. Josh, you and I went over a lot of theories about how things might play out here. And I just didn't see any of those. I saw two options for the way the episode was going to go. It was that he wasn't going to make it, or he was going to make it, but you know, that was going to be it, which is kind of what we got. So he's safe. Phew. But
you know, I got to say, who on Yo-Yo too? I actually was a little worried about her for a while.
Well, what I was going to say, this was probably the hardest storyline for me to watch. It's a toss-up because that Fitzsimmons one was really tough too. But this one, man, I'm just getting chills thinking about it. This was the one I was responding to most emotionally, and just the scene on the couch where, you know, Max telling Hope everything's going to be okay, and I'm like, she's not even there. It's like I could tell with the way they were framing this that she was gone, and like you said, Yo-Yo, you know, sitting down, and she was prepared to sacrifice herself. And the framework Mac breaks down, you know, in tears, and we then cut to the real world Mac, and just that single tear comes out of his eye because that's all he can shed. You know, that's like the net result of the framework versus the real world. There, you know, there is crossover, but you know, it's not real, but it is real. It was beautiful. And I think all the actors did a really incredible job, in these sequences. And I mean, I'm really glad that Mac and Yo-Yo came out. I enjoy their contributions to the show. And I mean, I think everybody has a place on the show too. I feel like, you know, I mean, it is a family, right? But that we've talked about, and these seven characters that we've got now that are the show, up from the five core characters with Mac and Yo-Yo now. I mean, it's like they've graduated to, all right, you've made it into yet another season. So I was really pleased with that.
And that storyline went from tragically emotional, you know, thinking that we were going to lose at least one of them, possibly both of them. We lost Hope, which was, even though she wasn't real, it was still emotional, to them kind of resolving some issues back in the real world and Mac understanding exactly what happened and seeing the sacrifice that Yo-Yo was willing to make. And that scene with them kind of moving ahead with their relationship and their life.
Yeah.
That one was just as emotional in a different way for me. And I agree with you. That storyline right there was such a powerful part of this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tim,
ahead. So you told me that, you know, this was a really emotionally strong episode. And I was going to ask you if this was one of the things you were really responding to.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I sometimes get sucked into these things and I get really emotional. And I will tell you, this episode, I cried no fewer than three times. And this whole thing with Mac and Yo-Yo and Hope was one of them. It was just like, I really felt for Mac with the loss that I knew he was going to have. And then, you know, with Yo-Yo being torn between do I live or do I stay here, and basically knowing that I'm going to, you know, my consciousness will cease to exist and my body in reality is just going to die. That was, I mean, I was right there with Mac. I was right there with him.
And how just mature Mac is when he gets out, you know, I mean, as we've found from all the other characters, that they're able to make the distinction between the framework and the real world. But like they said the other week, it's like waking up from a life. And, you know, Yo-Yo, I felt like she had to kind of mea culpa and apologize for trying to force him to leave. Mm-hmm. But for him to say, you know, there's no real reason, you know, you don't need to apologize. Like, I completely understand. And, you know, for him to see that the experiences that he was given, you know, was a gift, because, you know, I mean, he's been a really, spiritual and faithful character throughout his run, especially earlier in the season in the first pod. And, you know, to have him, you know, kind of be blessed by this experience and take it for as positive a spin as he can. I thought, you know, it's just, that's why I love this character. He's just so, he's like, he's very emotionally mature.
Yeah,
I agree with that. One more thing I want to say about this couple is just something that I kind of noticed in this as maybe a contradiction to Mac's character. So in the framework in there with him and Yo-Yo sitting on that couch, he did not take a leap of faith. He did not trust that. He did not have faith in that. And yet Yo-Yo actually did take a leap of faith because she decided to stay with him, mm-hmm. You know, having absolutely no idea what was going to happen to her. You know, probably she was going to die, but she was taking a leap of faith to stay with him, just to be with him. But he didn't. He decided to stay having the knowledge that this isn't real. I'll die if I stay here. You know what I mean? So that was just interesting that he didn't take the leap of faith this time and she did.
Yeah, absolutely. Hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't put it together that way. And,
the whole time, Redcliffe is standing there completely shocked.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd leave if I could, but I can't leave. You guys better leave.
Get out the damn door.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like, first off, it's like, I didn't even know how they were, you know, well, we got to figure out a way for them to get out. And how clever for Daisy to put the yo-yos into the framework so that Radcliffe would find him. I mean, that was... It's great storytelling too, because it's like it just is explained in one little thing. We don't have to, you know, we don't have to spend time seeing that because there's all this other stuff that's more important for us to show. It's like, and you know, they just describe that they're hacking a back door or whatever, and then you know, physically a door appears. It was very clear and understandable as far as the storyline went, so that you didn't have to worry about that, and you could kind of focus on the peril of the characters. The other couple that we love to get emotional about, cringe, cry, whatever, Fitz and Simmons. So, well, geez, woo, Simmons is okay, but they had me going there for a minute. Yep. But, I mean, she could have survived that, right? I mean, it was just like a punctured lung, you know, right? Right?
Well, yeah, until she shocked her.
Well, you know, they could restart her heart. I figured, I was like, they just have to, okay, get Ada out of there. And then they just really have to jump in and fix her. But then, of course, you know, I realized that basically Fitz did something right. So if you recall, this is a really interesting, well, not in that way, but.
No, I know what you're saying.
So earlier he's down on himself, right? He's like giving his report. And Simmons is like, you don't need to, you know, I'm not writing a report. I just want to know what you did. And he's like, here's a list of my sins. I'm a horrible person. I can't do anything. Everyone dies. And she's like, you know, stop. But you know, we do need someone to die now. Like that would fix things. And so, I think the LMD Simmons last line was, was it like, you did this or you made this or something like that?
Yeah, and that was like, that was a heartbreaking line. The first time I heard that was like, oh, right. Wow, that's like soul crushing. And Fitz really didn't react much to it. I mean, granted, he right. knew she was Gemabot, but yeah. still.
Yeah, it from our first standpoint, it's like, you know, you did this to me and you're responsible in like, I'm dying and, you know, oh, shoot. But now you can see it as, hey, look, you did this. Like, now Ada thinks she's killed Gemma and, mm-hmm. you know, you've helped again. And, you know, isn't that the first step to healing? So I thought that was really cool. But, you know, they're back together. Coulson gave him a nice pep talk. I mean, I don't mean that facetiously. It was good. He's like, I know you guys have problems, but we got to work together. And they did, you know, they pulled together, but they're going to need a little time to work it out.
And how much of that pep talk was for Coulson himself also in terms of dealing with May?
True. I think, a lot of times, and Josh and I think we've discussed this before, is a lot of times when Coulson's saying some of these things, he's probably, talking to himself,
yeah.
About that as well. And so I think all the main characters have been LMD'd this season now that we've seen Simmons. Well, except Yo-Yo, but Mac, Daisy, Coulson, Fitz, Simmons, and Radcliffe, and then of course Ada. So
when was Fitz LMD'd? Was that when they took over the base? Yeah, that was when they took over.
Yes. Yeah, when they took over the base. That's right. Yeah, he was, okay. He was one of the ones.
Had to think that one. Yeah,
that's where we didn't. There's so many of them. He confronted Simmons. Right, I know.
Yeah, and Gemma had to stab him in the head repeatedly or something.
Oh, that's right. How can I forget that? I guess because it's happened to me so many times on dates that you know I can understand. I just get them all mixed up.
and of course the great scene with the great reveal of Gemma with the submachine gun standing behind Ada shooting her, and Ada's like, "You see, it didn't work." She's like, "No, this just felt good. I wanted to do this." It's like, "Ba da 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 da."
Which was a great scene, but can I cast one criticism at it?
Yeah.
Coulson was standing right behind Ada. Yeah.
Well, the writer protected him. we'll come back to talking about that, but yeah, I think the writer protected him.
Or something called plot armor.
Yes, plot armor is strong, not as strong on this as on the CW, but plot armor here is pretty good. So, the next person, you know, wow, you know, whew, Daisy is a badass. And this episode is the culmination of 4 years of us building on this character. I mean, I don't know if you've done it lately, Tim. Go back and watch the season pilot or the series pilot and look at Sky and like, what kind of heck character is this? I was not plussed with her when it first happened, I know, but
look at where we've come.
So we got Quake and Ghost Rider teaming up again, aka Shake and Bake Redux here. she's become quite the leader. Josh, tell me your thoughts on her little pep talk to Fitz there at the end.
Oh, it was perfect. It's like, I don't know if you've ever had this experience in life. Fortunately, I think I have had this, okay, where you're feeling sorry for yourself, right? And people try to help. Your friends try to help, and they tell you, hey, no, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Things happen. You know, don't worry about it. And none of it makes you feel better. Matter of fact, a lot of times it just makes you feel worse. And then there's one person that just kind of goes, you know, smacks you in the head and go, get over it. And then you realize how stupid you've been, you know? I actually think, Jay, you've done that to me a couple times, I think.
I was going to say, I don't actually smack you on the head. I mean, it's like smack on the head.
You know, more of a symbolic smack on the head.
Symbolic, but, there you go.
And that's how I kind of felt like the thing that I think really struck him and made me realize that how impactful she was being was when she told him how he was the one that did that to her, you know, when she was having her little moment of
her walkabout
moping. Yeah, her walkabout. Yeah, I like that. It's a good. I liked that. I thought she did a really good job, and I like when I have the experience of having someone finally get it through to me when I realize how not how stupid I've been, because everybody feels like that, you know, but how far I've taken it.
Right. I mean, you can wallow in self-pity, or you can kind of, you know, pull your pants up and move on, you know, like an adult, and do the things you need to do. And we all need that time to, you know, have that pity and that sorrow and stuff like this. And then there's a time to, you know, stand up and move on. And, Fitz had been doing that long enough. And I'm just, what I love about the show is they just take time to do these kind of moments. You know, yeah, we could have another fight with Ghost Rider, but these scenes actually feel much more important and more precious to me, because it builds and irrevocably changes our characters. I mean, again, I'm pointing out after 4 years, we've gone from Sky to Quake, and you know, here's this hacker who was kind of out for herself, and now she's the one who's like advocating teamwork. You know, we're going to do this as a team, and you'll notice that as she stepped in to say that, Coulson just kind of stood back and let it happen, which is, I think it's indicative of where we're going to be going with the show. And again, I've got a lot of other things I want to talk about with where we think the show may be going. I want to talk a little bit about Ghost Rider here too as well. I was going to say Ada's plan would have worked if it weren't for that meddling ghost writer, which seems kind of backwards. But I don't know if you guys noticed this. When Coulson had the writer in him and Ghost Rider came out, this is the third different skull we've seen on the Ghost Rider. The Ghost Rider appears to take on the skull of the person he's hosted with, I guess. I'm going to get a screenshot of that and put it up. But it's very interesting. Coulson's skull is very nice, but he does have a little crack above his eye, but not as bad as the one on the Robbie's skull that we see.
Well, and I think we talked about that. I know we talked about it earlier in the season when Mac was the Ghost Rider, right?
And yeah, back in episode 6. we might have talked about when Mac was the Ghost Rider, but I know there were two different Ghost Riders. We saw the original Ghost Rider and the Robbie.
Right, the
Ghost
one
Rider.
That the one that made the deal with Robbie, right? When he first became Ghost Rider. And so we talked about how possibly those, you know, those characteristics of the skull represented that character somehow.
Yeah. And then Robbie, aka the Ghost Rider, he's learned some new tricks. He's gotten really good. He's been practicing with his chain, which I thought was really cool. But he's also got a little teleportation trick, which looked really familiar to me. And I just wanted to see, Tim, did that portal thing look familiar to you? I don't know if how much you see of the Marvel Cinematic movies or anything.
Oh, that looked totally Doctor Strange to me, guys.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It was very much like the sling ring, wasn't it?
Wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, the thing that fascinated me the most, and really, I'm not so sure why you asked me to be on the show here. I figure either my check cleared or you remembered that I was a huge Ghost Rider fan. What I loved seeing was that Robbie and Ghost Rider are much more integrated now. When we first see Robbie pull up in the warehouse where Ada and her henchmen were, he pulls up in the tire flaming Ghost Rider car, which is the only thing I take issue with this Ghost Rider. Should be a motorcycle.
You're a fan of the motorcycle, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. But that's a totally different discussion. But it's Robbie who gets out, not the Ghost Rider. And he literally tears these guys apart, with, you know, what we would regard as superhuman powers. These were the powers of the Ghost Rider. And it wasn't until, Ada, hit him with her electric shock power that the Ghost Rider fully came out. But we saw repeatedly through this episode that Robbie and the Ghost Rider were really much more integrated. They were not so much separate entities, as they used to be.
That's a good point. I hadn't noticed he said that he, you know, has gone through a lot in the, you know, in the time that he disappeared to when he showed up, but I hadn't really put it together that way. So whenever we saw him doing anything special, he was always the Ghost Rider in that first pod. And then, and now, as you point out, he can be Robbie, but still have some of these powers.
It was a lot of it was just in his swagger, you know, just the confidence that he emoted as he was, as he walked right into this world and walked right, you know, going to find Ada. And it was sort of that, like you said, the more of his acceptance of it. He was just kind of owning that he was Ghost Rider now almost.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And apparently the Darkhold really has that old book smell, like from hell, because, he's got a nose for that book.
Yeah. Well, so he takes it at the end. He says he has to return the book and he opens up his portal. I'm just curious to where you guys think he might be taking it. I know I have my suppositions here. Tim, what do you think he was going to do with that?
To be honest, I actually hadn't even thought about it. It was just something that happened to me. I hadn't thought about, hey, where's he taking that thing?
Josh, did you have any thoughts about that?
Second Charles, I think he was going to sell it and maybe get that new PlayStation game that he's been looking for. No, I'm not. I don't know. And you and I have talked about how I've been experiencing the Marvel Universe since we started this podcast, and now I have a lot more knowledge just because of over the years. I've dug down deeper into it, but I don't have as deep of a knowledge of places that he maybe could have taken it as you probably do. So I'm curious to hear what you think.
Well, this is not even a comic book thing. Just staying in the Marvel Cinematic Universe here. And Tim, you mentioned it earlier that his chain portal looked very much like something from Doctor Strange. We knew that there were a number of tomes in Kamar-Taj. And as some people have pointed out, now I really can't really see this. I'm just not looking the right spot. But people have said, besides the book that was stolen in Doctor Strange, there's another blank spot. There's another place for a book that's empty.
Yep.
Which would be a great spot for the Darkhold. So now it didn't necessarily look like Kamar-Taj that he was stepping into. It kind of looked like the Himalayas, which, I mean, that's close enough, right? But I'm thinking he's returning the book to Kamar-Taj in the Doctor Strange universe, portion of the universe there. So,
About that, about what you could see through that portal, it shocked me that it didn't look any like anything mystical or hellish. I expected him to take it like somewhere that we wouldn't recognize. Something that would be otherworldly. It was
just. Well, you would take it where it could be protected, and with all of his talk about how. Other worlds and dimensions and things are all part of the, same stuff. It's all interrelated, all connected and stuff like this. You're not just going to take it and chuck it on a planet somewhere, right? You really do need to have someone looking out for it.
Well, and Wong the Librarian is pretty badass.
Yeah. So he and his single ladies. Also,
I love that idea.
Yeah, I who knows, right? There's no reason for us to hear really anything more about it unless they want to use it as a plot element. But, they've over 4 years now, they've set up a number of different things they could do for storylines they've really never had, wanted to go back to because they, as an interview with the producers said here right at the end of the season, they were really limited by what they were allowed to do. So they kind of built the things that they could work on, like Graviton, I think. That was one of the things. Well, they weren't allowed to do this stuff with Hydra and other worlds and things like that. And as the movies come out, it keeps opening the portal wider and wider and wider for what they can do on S.H.I.E.L.D. And so they're like, we don't have to go back to that stuff. We got enough other stuff to take care of. And the man spearheading all of this is Agent Coulson. So... Whew, man, he seems to have made it through, but I don't know. There's some weird stuff going on here. It seems like he and May may have a plan. I'm glad there was at least a little bit of discussion about that. The big problem is like where they're going to get another bottle of Haig. I guess that's the one of the main things. But it seems like they've kind of reset their expectations and. There's a chance for another romance on the team to bud right there. And I got to say, I did not see the Ghost Rider switch, like being in him. I was thinking he was going to do something with the Darkhold or they were going to turn on a machine there and suck Ada in or something like that.
That's what I figured. He was standing right at the portal machine. I figured, he's going to flip a switch and, somehow she's going to, end up going through.
Yeah, get sucked in or something like that, like they did. And did you watch Agent Carter as well, Tim?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. So, like, when they opened that the portal and it was sucking everything into the dark dimension.
Yep, absolutely.
I thought it was going to work like that. But the big question that's on a lot of people's minds on the internet is, what did Coulson have to promise the ghostwriter to have this time with him? So the quote from the episode was Robbie saying, "You know why he made the deal in the first place, right?" Coulson says, "Yep." And then Robbie asks, "Are you going to tell the others?" And he says, "No." And then he says, "Well, I'll tell him when the time is right." Josh, what's the deal? What is the deal? What's the deal?
Man, I racked my brain to try to think what Coulson would really want. You know, what he would want to so badly that he thought this was the only way he could succeed.
Right, because it seems like what you have to offer the ghostwriter, right? You have to give him something in exchange for his services, right?
Right. And it's he shows up when you're desperate, right? He shows up when you're desperate for whatever. I mean, if there's no hope, if you're dying or if somebody else is going to die or, you know, something like that. And
I was going to say Robbie swore twice to let the ghostwriter use his body to do the vengeance if his life would be saved or if he would spare Mac, right? So he's like, you can let, you know, I'll do your bidding or you can do your bidding through me, you know, however that works, but save my life and then don't take Mac, even though the ghostwriter wanted to stay in Mac and, you know, consume his anger or frustration or whatever it was for, you know, the loss of his daughter.
Yeah. But there's two differences here. One, I guess it's kind of an obvious one. Ghost Rider didn't actually show up for Coulson. He just happened to be there, right? The writer happened to be there working with Robbie because they were trying to get the Darkhold data.
Hey, can I borrow him? And it's like, you know, he says he needs something. And Coulson would say, okay, I got, you know, X. Coulson's already died once. So I don't know how that might play into this. Coulson's a very special character, right? Because he's experienced like actually prolonged death. Mm-hmm. He's missing parts of his body that have been replaced by other parts. So,
I feel like
it's in exchange for something else.
Well, the other thing that I wanted to point out about Coulson, other than that, you know, it being different the way Ghost Rider showed up, was that Coulson is not the kind of a person who would take that responsibility lightly. He would not just ask for. I don't think he would ask to stop Ada. I don't think that's the deal he made. You know, I mean, I'm desperate. We've got to stop Ada. If you do this, I'll give myself to you, or I'll, you know, make a deal with you or something like that. Because he will find another way. You know, I mean, he's the kind of guy that improvises, that takes it as he goes. So I don't think he would do that. So to me, it had to be something bigger, and I don't know what is bigger that he would make a deal for, unless it had something to do with May.
And I also have to imagine it cannot have been that big of a sacrifice because the writer wanted Ada also. Because she was a creation of the Darkhold. And, you know, if Phil even asked Robbie, hey, he wants both the Darkhold and her, right? And he said, yeah. So it can't have been something really, you know, mind-blowing. But still, I mean, I've been left wondering exactly what it is. I mean, just what Josh said, I've been racking my brain over it too. I have no idea what he could have offered up.
So I'm wondering if it's related. So the thing is, some people have been assuming it's related to the sequence at the end of the episode, the stinger for next season. And I'm not so sure about that, but I am going back to the line that Robbie said earlier where he says, Earth is just one territory on a war that's been going on forever. And if the ghostwriter is a soldier on that front line of this war, of this, you know, interdimensional transgalactic war, whatever this war is, maybe Coulson offered to make himself a soldier in that war. Maybe he offered, the services of his team, which is why he wasn't going to tell him right away, but right. he would tell him eventually. Or maybe it's like you said, Josh, maybe it has something to do with May. You know, it's, that's something that is dear to him, that, you know, it's a relationship that he has, and maybe he has to, you know, give up the rights to the relationship in some fashion, to satisfy Ghost Rider, though. I mean, I don't know. Before we get on to the stinger and the teaser at the end, let me just, have everybody have a moment of silence here for Holden Radcliffe. This is the way that the world ends, not with a bang, but with a whimper. As he quotes from T.S. Eliot's The Hollow Men, a very beautiful poem. I thought that was probably one of the best farewell sequences I've ever seen for a character. It's very poignant. Just having, you know, having him disappear mid-sentence too, with the glass just falling into the sand. It was, you know, quite a redemption arc for this character who started out as quite a jerk last season, helping Hive and everything like this. And again, boy, look at how far he's come. He's done a great job here. So,
what I loved about it was that presumably he was the last person or the last entity
mm-hmm.
within the framework. And
which would make sense.
Yeah,
he's the creator. So.
Exactly. That just seemed like the most poetic thing to me, that he created it. Viably, he was the first person in it at some point, and he's also the last person out. And yeah. it's even more interesting if you consider that Ada somehow controlled that. And, you know, maybe it was her own form of torture to him to watch the whole thing crumble in front of him and for him to be the last one out. Or maybe it was kind of almost a sign of respect that you're going to be here for as long as it exists. It's just something that, like, it's just seemed really deep to me, that over the last couple of days, my brain keeps going back to.
One, it's a beautiful shot with the sunset and the orange filter as he's sitting on the beach drinking, I'm assuming, is probably a scotch, there, but, it made me think of, yet another great quote. It's a far, far better thing I do than I have ever done before. Mm-hmm. A far better resting place that I go to than I have ever known. So Holden Radcliffe, we will miss you. All right. The end. What the heck? So, there's only one thing that came to mind for me when I saw Coulson wake up and open the blast shields to see a asteroid field, some debris out in space. So do we get Agents of S.W.O.R.D. next season, the Sentient World Observation and Response Department? This is what immediately following the episode, and dozens of people were discussing this online. And on Wednesday, the VFX director, Malt Kolpak, who had tweeted, as we talked about last week, that the show was renewed, he said, no, we're not going to do that because Fox owns the property as part of the X-Men. Because this group, S.W.O.R.D., debuted in Astonishing X-Men, coincidentally written by Joss Whedon, who mm-hmm. is one of the executive producers of this show. But, you know, everyone knows the rights issues are really complicated, and the film rights and the TV rights are different, you know, for X-Men, and I have Spider-Man and stuff like that. So who really knows? And, of course, this guy, I mean, not to diminish his, you know, his connection to the show, but he is the visual effects director. He's not...
Hey, he's probably also the official, pronouncer of the renewal of the season, too. So
yeah. So
and S.W.O.R.D. Was created as a counterpart or a sister agency to S.H.I.E.L.D.
True.
So I mean, the speculation isn't that far out of bounds,
right?
But if it's not S.W.O.R.D., then what is it?
Well, and you can have S.W.O.R.D. in all but the name, right? It can be this galactic peacekeeping force. It's basically, you know, a SHIELD agency, but they work the galaxy. I saw an interesting supposition today during, I don't know, it was a couple years ago, they did The Death of the Watcher. I'm trying to remember what Marvel's, what they called the run. I think it was Original Sins, something like that.
Okay.
And the Watcher got killed and one of his eyeballs was taken, supposedly because it saw something. And we find out that Nick Fury, who is aging at this point, because the Infinity Formula is wearing off, has a greater role in the cosmic universe than we knew previously. He worked in a role that was called the Man on the Wall. And basically, he was a intergalactic, almost bounty hunter, sheriff kind of character. And it would be like working as a freelance spy for the CIA, except his breadth was the universe. And so he would destabilize alien governments and kill alien despots all without ever being known. So it's actually cooler than it sounds in my description, but
no, it actually,
I don't know. That sounded pretty cool.
Yeah.
And so he is dying. So he has to hand this job over to somebody else. And so, it's this whole thing with the Watcher being killed is a way for him to figure out who is a suitable replacement to be the Man on the Wall. So that's another interesting thing that they were doing. My wife was asking why the little device froze all the people, all the SHIELD agents, but not the other ones. And I'm like, well, maybe it only works on humans, because just because those people look like people doesn't really mean anything. And of course, the phrase that was used there was the window closes in less than 2 minutes, which sounds very much like the talk regarding teleportation with the monolith from season 3, where they've got the, you know, the alignment of planets and galaxies and stuff like that, and they can only teleport at certain times. So
if you remember, though, there was also in terms of devices that froze people, we saw one of those in the first Iron Man movie.
Right.
So, we saw one of those in Avengers. Avengers? I think it was in Avengers.
In Avengers.
In the it was in the Triskelion. Black Widow was the one who was frozen.
Winter Soldier.
It was in Winter Soldier. That's right.
Yep.
So that kind of device is not unprecedented in terms of our universe here.
Right. The it's definitely different than the one from Iron Man.
Yes.
Though that was one of the first things I did think. The Iron Man one had a red light, whereas this had a green light. Not that that's indicative of anything, but the one in Iron Man was also very detrimental to the characters. I mean, it caused them physical damage and potentially death as well.
Well, Apple's upgraded it since then. I mean, that was a few years ago.
Yeah, there was a
just like the Paralyzer 7. I think they're up to, aren't they? It's
yeah, absolutely.
They did take the audio jack out of it, though, now, so it's smaller.
Right, yeah. Right.
Total Bluetooth.
So,
yeah.
And in the interview with the producers and writers and directors, which is on IGN.com, and if their listeners out there haven't read it, I recommend you guys take a look, because you're not really finding any information out about next season, but they are teasing a number of things, such as they do admit that there is a time jump between the diner and when Coulson awakens, because it very much seems like he's knows what he's doing. He gets up, puts his shoes on, opens the door or opens the window, and then is like, all right, time to get to work, whether it means really work or, you know, whatever he's supposed to be doing, that'll remain to be seen. But
it just seemed like he'd been there a while, so.
Yeah.
Right, and is the team with him or not with him? I don't know. So this could be related again to a deal that he made with the Ghost Rider.
There was one speculation from online that was sent to us message on Twitter from Benjamin here, and he said just a whole Bob Newhart type ending, right? Is the whole show just a weird space dream that Coulson's having?
Oh,
yep. Yep.
Benjamin comes up with some really weird thoughts for our shows. I gotta say that I love it. I love reading his stuff, but it is stuff that definitely does not occur to me.
It's funny. The vibe I actually got was very Moonraker-y. The Bond film Moonraker. That's kind of what I was feeling from it.
Okay. Okay. And then one other thing I will just remind everybody that, you know, they do a pretty good job of trying to resolve and tie up loose ends. And I think they did a really good job this season. Yet the Superior's head is still out there.
Yes.
And the one thing I was thinking, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, and I don't think I said it on the show, but, you know, he was saying that, you know, you can kill all these bodies, but you'll never find my head. Because, of course, he had access to Darkhold. I mean, he was doing all sorts of crazy stuff. The best place for him to put the head was not on Earth.
Mm.
So maybe the deal was that, you know, Coulson made a deal to, you know, I'll give you something and you can take over my body and I get to find out where the Superior is so we can go take care of that.
That's a lame deal.
And the Superior is actually Dr. Evil traveling through a frozen spaceship.
Crossing franchise realms all over the place.
Exactly. Yeah, that's actually in my notes. It's the very last line of my notes is the Superior question mark because I realized that, yeah, we never actually saw his actual physical form get destroyed. And the other thing I thought too, and you know, maybe I'm reaching a little bit, but hey, you know, this is Marvel and it is S.H.I.E.L.D. I was getting very much both from the Superior and to an extent from Ada, kind of across her different existences, her manifestations, kind of an Ultron type of vibe here. And I thought one of my first thoughts when I finished watching this was, okay, so next season or maybe even beyond that, is there a chance that Ada still exists, you know, in the internet or something mm-hmm. like that in a digital form? Because she kind of kept bouncing back and forth between the digital world and the physical world so much. Maybe there's still some consciousness of her that's out there.
Did she write herself into the Darkhold as a new chapter?
I actually hadn't even thought of that. That's real interesting. And the thought that, you know, Daisy described how Ada was making the framework collapse in on itself, yet that was something that we never saw. Or at least that I don't recall, that we never saw Ada do. Like, we never saw her go up to a computer and, you know, we didn't get an obvious plot point or an obvious story point there of her doing that.
Right. It spontaneously occurred as far as we can tell.
Yeah. So it makes me wonder, was she doing that just basically from her head? Was that another ability that she had that she was still connected to the framework? Mentally, that she was able to, you know, say, okay, I'm going to close it down. It just left me wondering that maybe she still exists in some plane somewhere.
Well, I'd love to see Mallory Jansen come back.
For sure.
Incredible job. So, and I guess if they do end up in space, you know, you can have Agent Ward come back, you know, but he's an alien. You know, and spells his name weird or something like that. And they'll be like, oh, my gosh. And he's like, yeah, what's the matter? And, you know, they'll be like, you look like a guy we knew back on Earth. And he's like, really? Oh, I don't look like anybody, you know, or whatever. Everyone says I'm the ugliest one or, you know, whatever, because he's an alien species or whatever. I don't know.
Josh. Ada actually becomes Hell 9000. She takes over the ship that Coulson's in. See, we've just hit now another franchise.
So what do you think, Josh? Any other things occur to you about what – I mean, the possibilities to me seem endless, really.
Yeah, which I think is completely the intent. And if you think back to – this is a very, very similar tease to what they did last season with Radcliffe and Ada. We saw a silhouette of something. We knew it was an LMD. Could you possibly imagine this is where it would have ended up? I mean, in my wildest dreams, I wouldn't have thought that they would have gotten to this point through what we saw.
No, because Hellfire was the one that was going to come back.
That's right.
Supposed to come back.
Just based on the bus, right? Or the what was
right.
it? The subway or the train or something.
The trolleys in San Diego Comic-Con, yeah.
So. Right.
Well, hey, only a couple months until San Diego Comic-Con, and we'll get some other teases. I'm sure it'll just be like a, you know, like a spaceship. But, you know, we just had Guardians of the Galaxy 2. With, you know, characters flitting around. I'm not saying that anybody from the show is going to meet up with any of the stars of the movie, but Thor Ragnarok will be taking place on Earth and in the Nine Realms and on these alien planets with the Grandmaster and stuff. We've got the Infinity War coming up with the Avengers where they go into outer space. There's the world is so wide open. I mean, I don't know how they're going to narrow it down and just choose a couple things to do next season, because I feel like they're probably like kids in a candy store right now going, oh, we want to do that, and we want to do that, and we want to do that, and they have to figure out a good way to do that. So,
well, and kind of from a macro perspective, you know, other things I thought about, and I know in the interview that you cited was fantastic, and I certainly respect the dance that they're doing in respect to the MCU and trying to, you know, not venture into things that have to do with the films. But if we kind of, you know, think back to what the original intent of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show was supposed to kind of tie us into the MCU.
Right.
And, you know, even if the storylines aren't direct, having these tangential storylines that if there's anything that's been disappointing about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it's been that we have by and large gotten little more than casual mentions of, oh, the New York City incident or the Sokovia incident. We've had very little direct stuff, particularly after the first season. The first season actually, I thought, did pretty well with it, but then after that, they really wandered off on their own. So there are two things that I think, again, from very macro perspective, big picture, that I'd like to see out of the series going forward. One, S.H.I.E.L.D. has to get rebuilt. S.H.I.E.L.D. as an entity viably doesn't exist anymore. You know, there's every time they get something, it gets blown up somewhere. So they don't even have a base. I mean, I've got a whole crew here from Damage Control cleaning the place up. I don't know if they're going to reoccupy. I have no idea. No one told me who the new tenant's going to be. It could be another Walmart. Who knows? And the other one is that I'd like to see S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of start moving toward having that tie-in again with the MCU. And again, while I do understand and respect that it can't be direct, I would still like to see something that's more related.
I would argue with that only because I felt they really did a good job of introducing magical elements and, you know, with the Ghost Rider stuff, the beginning of this season, which if you were listening to Case Files at that time, mm-hmm. I felt was setting up stuff for Doctor Strange. And of course, by the time they had the Darkhold and they gave us all the stuff about the magic, and then all of a sudden Doctor Strange comes out. So there, it's there. I think you can look for it, but you're right. It's not as overt as it had been when they have a crossover with Captain America, Winter Soldier, or when they're cleaning up the debris from Thor, the Dark World, or something like that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, absolutely. And that's something, I mean, I'm really excited, you know, ever since Ghost Rider first appeared in this, I've been really excited about the possibility of, hey, let's get Ghost Rider and Doctor Strange together, because that was always like just, well, forgive the pun, but it was magic in the comic books. You know, you had two characters that just had such overlap in terms of the realms and the areas that they dealt with. And it was just very much a niche within Marvel Comics that I always really loved. So I'd like to see it happen, you know, on the big screen.
Yeah, that'd be cool. And, you know, there's the realm, you know, between TV and Netflix and the theatrical films that, who knows, something like that may happen. So, well, Josh, we got a few pieces of feedback here. I want to know if you want to grab one here and see what we got.
Yeah, let's read what Mike had to say on Facebook there. He says, holy crap, what an awesome episode. Said, I know you've probably heard these, but I have a few comments on some things I noticed. First, Ghost Rider mentioned fighting in a war in realities and then opened a portal the same way the Sling Rings do in Doctor Strange. They could be working together in the wars. Secondly, I think maybe the ending has something to do with setting up for the Infinity War. Anyway, just my thoughts. So, you know, some of our thoughts led down the same direction there. So this is great stuff to think about and ponder over the summer.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We're going to have some great discussions, I think, on our summer specials here when we get to them. Rob on Facebook has a different theory. He says, I have a theory about the end of this season / next season. Contrary to what has been said about the Inhuman show being separate from S.H.I.E.L.D., I think they are on the moon, captured by Inhumans, possibly on order by the royal family. So he's thinking there's going to be more of a direct tie-in on that. So that's kind of interesting.
That would be – see, I'm totally down on that. I was disappointed when they said there was no crossover. So
I think there will be, but it's – you know, it'll be tangential-ish, like they both exist on Earth.
Yeah, I suppose so. Like that, well, we'll see what they do. Sometimes those crossovers work, and sometimes, as we have discussed, not so much. Also, then one more that I got a message from Matt. He said, I'm watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. a second time because the first time I watched it, I was constantly stressed that Whedon was going to kill someone. So I sent him a message back that was probably your fault, Jay. And yeah, because
I set that up.
Yeah, he agreed. Well, totally. Totally your fault.
That, so. Yeah. Well, I mean, as we talked about last week, I mean, having the name Joss Whedon on a show pretty much guarantees that someone's going to die, you know, at some point during a season. So,
well, they did kill Radcliffe, and Radcliffe had been on for at least a season and a half. So,
yeah. So, a few references I wanted to go over here. So we were talking about last week about Ada's additional powers and, that she had this healing one that we didn't really know about. So presumably her three powers come from the three characters Fitz mentioned specifically. He mentioned studying Lincoln, which is her lightning, Gordon from the afterlife, which was the teleportation. And he also mentioned Vijay, Senator Nadir's brother. So presumably that was the healing aspect. And remember at the end of, or the middle of the second arc, LMD arc, I think, he got shot and ditched in a lake, but then he re-cocooned again. So there's also potential that Vijay will be back at some point as an Inhuman. We had a reference to Pac-Man with Radcliffe talking about picking up the yo-yos. General Talbot discussing or exclaiming that something was a load of Elrond horse crap, which isn't... Interesting phrase. It shows that he knows a little bit about sci-fi enough to try to say L. Ron Hubbard, but also call BS on it here, I guess.
It was a great one.
Either way, that's now become part of my vocabulary, so I'm using that.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to talk like him sometimes because he's so bombastic and just, I don't know. It just helps me feel better sometimes.
Sometimes that's an appropriate response when you can do, and I'm not always clever enough to come up with stuff like that. So,
now, did anyone else see the Last Supper in this episode?
Oh. Now that you say those words, I do.
Yeah. So, I didn't realize it before. The only thing that resonated to me was shawarma.
Me too. Oh, that's exactly. I thought of that too.
Yeah.
Right. So when they're in the diner and they're eating, right, that very much spoke to that shawarma scene at the end of Avengers. But then when the lights go out and then everybody freezes and they did a wide shot. I don't know how they got it so far back, or, and you know, this is a really wide lens, but they got all seven characters plus the four. The armed agents or whatever, and then the one bald guy who had the little device. So there were 12 of them there. Now, people who are more schooled in the Last Supper imagery than I am said that Fitz should have been in the Judas position, or wouldn't it be cool if Fitz was in the Judas position? But because of how everything was laid out, it was one of the guys with the guns and the flak jacket or whatever, so that it, you know, there was probably no symbolism other than just the tableau setting of that shot. But I thought that was really cool. And then the most obscure reference, who saw R2-D2 in the episode?
I missed this.
Yeah, I totally missed it.
Tell me where I missed it. Where was it?
So Mark Kolpak again tweeted out that he put an Easter egg in the last shot. So when the door goes up and you look out the window with Coulson into the asteroid field, look over into the right window in the lower third, and one of the rocks floating by looks like R2-D2 with his third leg out, kind of in the tripod position, floating right to left.
All right, I'm going to have to go back and check that out. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's totally obvious. And as soon as it comes out in like HD, well, if it ever comes out on Blu-ray or whatever, you'll be able to probably see it even better. So, oh, and Tim, I just got a note on my phone. Your check just cleared. So that's awesome.
Oh,
thank
good.
You so much.
Good. Okay. Yeah. Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, so that's all we've got for this week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. Tim, thank you so much for joining us, and where can people find out more about you online or on voice?
They can catch me on the tweets, Twitter. I am at Qui-Gon Tim. That's with two M's. I am also, since we are part of the Random Chatter network of podcasts, I'm very happy to say that I am a new regular co-host of the Echo Base podcast.
And what do you guys discuss on Echo Base for those that don't currently listen?
Star Trek? No, Star Wars. Star Wars, yeah.
Star Wars.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I think. Yep.
And that's cool. That's the same location that our podcast is at, randomchatter.com. So it should be – it's in the same – we're in the same cul-de-sac here.
Yes.
Only the most quality podcasts can be found at randomchatter.com.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. Echo Base is, I mean, we're on the colder side of the cul-de-sac. It's constantly snowing.
Cul-de-sac.
Dead tauntauns everywhere. That's a huge problem. Huge problem.
Well, good thing you're with damage control. So.
Exactly.
So. Well, no, seriously, thanks for having us this week. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Not a problem.
All right. Well, hey, you know what, guys? We hope you enjoyed this episode. We hope you enjoyed listening to us talk about it. And we hope you enjoyed this season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I know I had a blast, for sure. So, hey, you know what? If you liked us talking about it, head on over to iTunes. Now's the perfect time because the season's over. You can kind of, you know, evaluate our whole season and let people know all about us so they can come join us on the fun for a season 5, which we know for a fact is going to be here. So if you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email. And you know what? You may hear us talk about your email this summer because we will likely have some summer specials. So you won't have to wait until November to hear us talking about it. So our email address is shield@randomchatter.com. Also, you can find us over on the Twitters as well. @AgentsPodcast is our little name thingy over there. And our Facebook page is facebook.com/agentspodcast.
Yes, our name thingy.
That's our name thingy.
Type in on the clickety clack. Yeah. So, Well, you can also check out the other shows that Josh and I host, which include Green Justice and Arrow podcast and Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. Both of those shows will be experiencing their season finales next week. Those are also available at Random Chatter on the CW side of the aisle, I guess, of the street. Our shows are also available in the iTunes store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And as Josh mentioned, we will be back during the summer here for some summer spectaculars. We will come up with some interesting topics, but if there is anything you guys would like to hear us talk about for an episode or part of an episode that have to do with S.H.I.E.L.D. or the slightly larger Marvel Universe surrounding S.H.I.E.L.D. and other characters, Ghost Rider, Inhumans, etc., please hit us up at our email, Twitter, or Facebook. We may also have another little surprise coming later in the year, but stay tuned to find out about that. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please be sure to tell your friends about us. So until season 5, for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, this is Jay.
And this is Josh.
Signing off from a level 7 in space.
This podcast is not endorsed by ABC Television or Marvel Entertainment. The official website for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can be found at www.agentsofshield.com. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and related elements are copyright Marvel Entertainment, LLC.
Transmission terminated.